everyone. Welcome to our session today on the future of hybrid cloud with the IBM Center for Cloud Training. I'm Natalie Brooks, your host and also the strategy and go-to-market leader for the center. Today, I'm super excited to have Jason McGee, an IBM fellow who currently serves as Chief Technical Officer for IBM Cloud. Jason will be discussing our recent growth and changes in cloud technology, as well as how cloud has continued to change with our expanded use. We will also discuss the future of cloud and how it will impact the need of cloud training. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks, Natalie. It's really great to be here. I'm excited for our conversation.
Great. That's what I love to hear. So let's begin with how will cloud continue to affect our work and our life? Can you talk about how the volume of data has changed in our world?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place to start. I think cloud is such an interesting topic because it's really become, I think, the centerpiece of how most organizations are building and deploying their IT solutions and building applications. It's become the tool we use every day. A few years ago, it was the tool we were all trying to figure out how to use. So I think cloud is serving this very pivotal role in helping organizations innovate and develop new solutions and improve their customer experiences. I think the last 3 or 4 years coming out of the, now coming out of the pandemic, that experience for everyone really accelerated how companies are trying to change their customer experiences and create new ways of interacting with people. And cloud has been at the heart of helping them go do that. I think most recently, you touched on data there. I think most recently, we're all talking about AI a lot more than we were with generative AI. And of course, those AI-based solutions are powered by data. And people are of course, always interested in how they collect and manage and govern their data. And those solutions are powered by cloud. And cloud enables the kind of scale and performance and security and control that's required for those kinds of new workloads. So I think a lot of exciting things happening in the cloud space right now.
Yes, definitely. I know it's affected a lot of IT professionals who use the cloud. I even noticed if you Google a simple word like water, it returns, 10 trillion results. So that's just a lot of data in one word alone. And just handling that data, it's just important for the IBM Center for Cloud Training team. We saw a need to fill the significant gap in training, training the number of cloud professionals to just fill these jobs in the cloud space. And so I definitely understand. So let's talk about how cloud has changed how we work.
Yeah, sure. You bring up such an interesting point around skills that people need. And that I think manifests itself in a few ways. I mean, it certainly requires training and information and sharing of knowledge and resources for people to be able to build their skills. But cloud is also part of the mission statement of cloud really is to present technology in simpler ways so that people can more easily and quickly build applications and so that they can spend more of their time on the kind of core business problems you're trying to solve and less time on provisioning servers and setting up networks and, configuring security and setting up monitoring and all the things that are kind of required. In cloud, we spend a lot of time thinking about how do we expose services at higher levels of abstraction, simplify things for people. So it's kind of interesting. I think cloud is causing a need for new skills. AI is causing a need for new skills, but those new skills are also simplifying, or those new capabilities are simplifying maybe how you would have had to solve the problem in the past and enabling a larger population of people to be able to access technology, access the same scale and capabilities, whether you're a small company, an individual entrepreneur, or a large multinational corporation. So it's kind of democratizing in its own way as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And rolling back to COVID-19, we found that, no longer could you work together in the office, meet up at the water cooler, discuss things. And it was really important to get people, trained since in-person training went away. And so we've definitely felt some of those same effects. Now, can you speak about how cloud has had an impact on our leisure time or on the way people play?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just a it's just an example of how kind of almost everything you touch these days is powered by cloud behind the scenes. Now, obviously, you know, in our personal lives, that we use cloud services for sharing photography and for watching video and streaming content and for sharing music and you know, what's maybe most compelling is that a lot of those use cases, the cloud is hidden and invisible, right? It is a behind the scenes engine that's powering those experiences. I think those leisure experiences, if you will, also inform, you know, what we do in the business realm as well, and informs the expectations that, you know, developers on your teams might have on how they can access technology and consume things. And it informs the kind of customer experiences that we want. So those worlds are more connected sometimes than they seem, because, you know, we're all people and we all come into this with a certain set of expectations. And so a lot of organizations are using cloud to help them meet those expectations that arise from our personal lives.
Yes, absolutely. And then even as cloud grows, many people are still worried about storage and security. Do you think security will continue to be a worry in the future?
I do. I think it's of course a critical aspect of deploying solutions, whether they're on the cloud or in your own data center, wherever they may live. You know, we all have an obligation to secure those workloads. Cybersecurity threats are ever growing and are, you know, stronger now than they've ever been. And there's always new threats and new techniques that people are using to gain unauthorized access to systems or to exfiltrate data. And so those things are important. I think for a lot of developers, it's also a hard domain. It requires a lot of knowledge and skill to be good at security. And it represents, I think, one of the ways that cloud can really help in the sense that we as builders of cloud and companies who are consuming cloud can standardize how they approach that problem. You know, in IBM Cloud, we've done a lot of work on building, security deeply into the fabric of how our cloud is built. We've done a lot of work in industries like financial services, defining kind of controls, which are really approaches that you take to protect your systems and to produce evidence that proves you've done a good job of that. And we've done work to kind of define those in a way that works for different enterprises within those industries and kind of build them into the cloud. So there's really, I think, an opportunity when people leverage cloud properly to be really good at things like security and things like compliance and things like availability by following best practices and by leveraging capabilities that are actually built into the cloud itself. And that's one of the advantages I think you can get out of cloud, which is, I think, kind of an interesting place that we've landed. You know, in the earlier days of cloud computing, I think there was a lot of concern around security and whether a cloud environment was less secure in some way because there's somebody else involved and someone's running it than your on-prem environment. And I think it's really kind of flipped in the sense that in many cloud environments, providers like us have, you know, large and very experienced teams who are securing the system, which is maybe beyond the capabilities of many organizations that use cloud. And we've been able to kind of bake in best practices into development tools, into runtime environments, into databases and the like on cloud. So it's really much easier to secure those systems. So I think that is one of the areas that really kind of drives some of the cloud narrative, but also an area that, you know, we've made a tremendous amount of progress on in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, this really seems like an area where IT professionals need training, and that's where ICCT comes in. Working in the cloud is different from working in a non-cloud environment. You have to know and understand the tools for the cloud, and then you have to be able to create services that run in harmony for the rest of the enterprise. So we definitely think that when you get cloud knowledge, you are able to scale your applications and maintain cloud services and reduce downtime and just save money in the entire process. So we've already mentioned some ways that cloud may change in the future, and a lot of these are around growth. But what other insights insights can you give us? For example, what's the future of hybrid cloud and how's it going to affect the way we work, we play, and of course, cloud training?
Sure. Maybe a couple of areas to touch on, which is, how the global climate is affecting cloud and hybrid cloud environments. And then we should talk about AI, of course, because I think that'll be a big area of growth, both in the industry at large and on cloud in particular. But to start with hybrid cloud, I mean, I think one of the things that we're seeing is an interesting convergence of forces. On one hand, a lot of companies are running more and more of their critical systems on cloud. They're moving, higher risk or more central business processes into cloud. So the cloud is becoming a critical resource for them. It needs to be, available all the time. It needs to be secure all the time. So cloud's playing like a more central role. At the same time, I think, geopolitical climate, concerns around privacy around the world, concerns around sovereignty is driving some regulatory changes that I think fundamentally fragment global cloud a little bit. Like cloud so far has been kind of a small number of large global cloud environments that run in multiple regions around the world. And there's more of a push for local clouds, clouds within geographic boundaries in countries or in areas like Europe and the like. And that's causing, a relook, if you will, at kind of the architecture of cloud platforms, how they're run, who runs them, where your data is stored, whether that data crosses boundaries. That's having, I think, a more transformative effect on cloud than it might seem on the surface, as companies like ours in IBM Cloud and others, adapt to those changing demands. It's also something our customers are struggling with or have to address, which is like, how do they meet the obligations, the regulatory obligations that are placed on them from, both industry and government around the world. And so I think that'll have a big impact on the future of cloud. I think it'll change how we run them and where we run them. And it'll give customers more control, frankly, in the long run over, where their data lives and how it's processed and the like. So I think that's one really transformative, future force, if you will, on the evolution of the cloud technologies. The other one is AI, of course, and AI is a manifestation of, something more fundamental in cloud, which is like cloud is about enabling different workloads and different kinds of applications. And those workloads all have different demands on the technology. And so, lots of customers are running classical applications in VMware or on bare metal servers. And then there's a wave of applications that were built on containers and with things like OpenShift and Kubernetes. And that, of course, changed like what we built in cloud and how we exposed it. And now with AI, you're seeing, especially with generative AI, you're seeing, I think right now we're seeing a lot of talk about it, but in the coming years, we'll see a lot of real deployment of those technologies, which will, really change how cloud is used. Like you'll see a proliferation of GPUs into more and more workloads. You'll see large scale training and data sets that are, using cloud, like in IBM Cloud, all of IBM's generative AI models are trained on infrastructure in IBM Cloud. And we've had to, build special capabilities in cloud to enable that. And so I think those AI workloads and the kind of growth of AI will really change kind of how you consume cloud, what kinds of resources are there, and what kinds of services we need to expose in the cloud in some pretty interesting ways. And I think that the reason it'll be, someone might be listening and be skeptical, like we've had AI for a long time. Like, why is it, different now? And I think it's different now, not only because the level of awareness is higher, but because foundation models, which are the technology beneath large language models and tools like ChatGPT and the like, are built in a way where the barrier to entry to solving problems with AI gets much lower. So there's many more problems you can now use AI to solve without having to go through the complexity and skill required to kind of build your own thing. So I think that's the second one that in my mind will really have a pretty transformative effect on how we use clouds and what kinds of workloads we run on them.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that. Now, is there anything else that you think that we should touch on that we haven't already touched on?
I would love to circle back to the skills topic a little bit as well. I mean, I think the other thing that's at the heart of cloud is as a service consumption of technology. And as a service is really a way of saying, like, we can centralize the running of things into a smaller set of teams who are experts in running that. And you can just consume the technology instead of having to deploy and manage the technology. And I think sometimes people underappreciate the impact that that has on skills. It really lowers the barrier to entry and reduces the depth of skills that are needed in your individual teams. You have to have a different skill. You have to have the skill to configure and manage and consume that technology in cloud. So, you know, there's a necessity there for training and community around that, but you don't have to become an expert in how to run kube clusters or how to provision networks or all kinds of things. Right. And so in a lot of those new technologies, whether it's, you know, OpenShift and Kubernetes, or whether it's, AI and foundation models, like, those skills are hard to achieve. Like, they're hard to build yourself and they're hard to get in the market. You know, those skills are in high demand for companies. And so, you know, I would just encourage everyone to sometimes step back and say, am I consuming cloud at the highest level of abstraction that I can, with the most services that I can, because it lets me really focus the skills that I need to build on my team and get more out of the system.
No, absolutely. Those are really great points. And I was just looking down at our questions from the audience, and one of them kind of touched on a remark you made on a little bit ago. It says the New York Times had an article recently about the U.S. government's concerns over Chinese cloud companies. Do you have any thoughts or insight about that?
I will make a comment. I'm familiar. Yeah. And I will make a comment specifically about that one concern, but I think it's a representation of this kind of broader dynamic that I touched on, that in different countries around the world, there are concerns about, you know, cross-border issues, about data flows, about who runs things, about access to information. And that happens in all kinds of ways. You know, that question is an example of that. There's concerns in Europe about European data privacy and, you know, U.S. companies having access to data. You can find examples from all over the world. And so some of it will come down to how you use cloud. Some of it, though, like, the other dimension of that we didn't touch on is, like, how do you assure that somebody isn't accessing your data or using it inappropriately? And if you look at any IT system, there's kind of two ways that you provide assurance for things. There's operational assurance and technical assurance. Operational assurance means there's a process that's followed. It might be possible for someone to access the data, but they're not going to, because that's not the process that they follow. And that's good. That's a foundation to start with. But it's better to have technical assurance, meaning it's not possible technically to, let's say, access your data. And in IBM Cloud, we've done a lot of work with things like our HyperProtect crypto capabilities to build systems where customer data cannot be accessed by us at all. Not that we won't, but that it's not possible. And that is relevant for questions like this. Like, you know, if you have your data stored somewhere and the government in that country subpoenas that data, like, we can't provide that data because we have no technical access to it, because you control your encryption keys and you control the information. So those kinds of concerns, you know, sometimes turn into very deep technical solutions within cloud itself to help make it, you know, easier or possible to address those concerns.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much for that. There's another question. I can handle this one. It says, how can IBM help me get started with building and running cloud native applications? And at ICCT, we are keeping up with the changes in cloud, and we have many changes in the future. Right now, we do have 13 offerings that people can kind of learn and get started with cloud. And then in the next month, we're going to have updates to our professional developer curriculum, along with our associate site reliability engineering program. And then we also have a cloud web prep app that helps you kind of study and prepare for being in those roles. And then there's another question here. It says, does IBM and IBM Cloud intend to get into gaming or more entertainment industries in some point in the future? I don't know if you have any insight on that, Jake.
Sure. Look, there's many industries that are, you know, already leveraging IBM Cloud broadly. We have quite a few gaming companies who host their solutions on IBM Cloud. So it's already a space that we're in. We do a lot with media as well. I mean, you know, both supporting customers who are in those industries on our cloud, but also, you know, as many people might be aware, we do things like the Masters and the US Open and Wimbledon, and we run those events on cloud, and we take advantage of both our AI capabilities, our security, and the global scale of our cloud to be able to, you know, put on those amazing events. So those are important industries. Now, from a strategy perspective, IBM Cloud is optimized more around regulated industry problems. So financial services and healthcare and government and telecommunications, industries like that are heavily regulated. That doesn't mean that we don't support or target those other industries. It just means that, like, when we think about how we build our environment and how we optimize and what kinds of security and compliance programs are going to be needed, we think about it in the terms of those more regulated industries. Our view is that everyone cares about security and everyone has some level of regulation and everyone cares about availability. So if we can meet the needs of the most challenging, you know, regulated industries, then that provides value for people in other industries as well.
Great. Thank you so much. So it looks like that was all the questions that we had down from the audience. So I'm just going to quickly wrap up. It sounded like the future of cloud is brighter and bigger than ever. And so that's just really exciting information. So thank you, Jason, for being with us today. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure the audience has found your information very helpful. So thank you again. Awesome. And then we'll just put a little... Thanks. And then we'll also just put up a slide real quick that just has some additional information on the IBM Center for Cloud Training. And then thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And then thanks again, Jason. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.